I have a thought that I'd like to share with you, and I would like to have you help me with this thought as we go along. I want to start with a question. Are you nature sensitive? And what I mean by that is, can you look at things around you and by those you see God in them? Because it's real easy, if we're not careful, to get so busy in our everyday living that we can walk out of the house, we can get in the car, we can go to work, we work all day, we come home, and we never see God, when you can see God all around you, if you are nature sensitive. There is a song that we sing, number 109. It says, alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. It says, all nature, and now I'm going to have to look at the words. Smiles so soft and sweet, I'm thinking, Lord, of thee. All nature smiles so soft and sweet. You know, if I'm not nature sensitive, I won't even see it. There will be flowers blooming in the flower bed out front, and I never see the detail in them and say, God, you're wonderful. All nature smiles so soft and sweet, I'm thinking, Lord, of thee. Thinking of thee, O Lord, of thee. Musing on things above, and for it to have something that happens when I'm doing that, till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love. I believe that's one reason that the Lord made nature the way it is, to help me to have things that draw my mind back toward Him. So I want you to think about vacations that you have maybe taken, places that you have gone, and what was the most beautiful one of any of them that caused you to see nature and appreciate it. The ones that maybe when you're looking at it, you start thinking of that song, maybe even singing that song, How Great Thou Art. That song, How Great Thou Art, is nature sensitive. Let me read you a couple of the verses. O Lord my God, when I, in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then another verse is, when through the woods and the forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountains grander and hear the brook, feel the gentle breeze, you know what? There's a whole lot of people in the world see all these things the same thing we see them, and it never turns their mind toward God. This one, when he sees these two verses, then he sings the chorus, then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee, how great thou art. And what I'm interested in tonight is, with what we see around us, nature itself, that God made for us, have you ever thought about, if he did that for us, what was the Garden of Eden like? Have you ever stopped sometime to just think, I wonder what the Garden of Eden was like? He made that for two people, and he put a lot of detail into it. I was thinking of some of the verses. Let's look at Genesis in the second chapter. Because, you know, a lot of times when I think about the Garden of Eden, it's a negative. We only think about the negative part of it, and that was their sin. But in 2 and 7, it says, the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then in the 8th verse, and it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And I look at all this kind of like that song, How Great Thou Art. And I think about what I see in nature. It says he made some trees just to be pleasant to the sight. Out at our house we have some Bradford pear trees. They don't produce any pears. They are only in the springtime. They just look like they have cotton all over them. They're beautiful to see. Shade in the summertime. Trees that were pleasant to the sight. He made those for two people, for Adam and Eve. And I look at flowers, and the detail that is in flowers. I have gone before to a place called Dutch Garden, places that they just have acres of tulips. Every color of tulip, I guess, that there is, and they'll have them in plots of ground, beautiful colors. And those, I look at all that. God made it for me to see and appreciate. And it makes me say, I wonder what the Garden of Eden was like. What would it have been like? Well, he also, you remember with the Garden of Eden, there was a tree that as they took of it, they would live forever. Because you remember when he drove them out of the garden, he said, I've got to get them away from this, lest they take of this tree and live forever. So I wonder, in that, was his design that, you know what, I've got everything that they will ever need here. They'll be able to eat of this tree and they'll live forever. Sin was the thing that drove them out. But here's what I want to look at. If God supplied the Garden of Eden for two people to enjoy, what's heaven going to be like? Tonight I would like for us to, there are places, travel agencies used to have pictures of places to make you want to go there, to make you long for that place. Because you know what, just like I can get up in the morning and I can go to work and I do all those things and I come home and I eat and I go to sleep and I never see God in the things around me, I can also get involved in temporal things to where I never have a thought of heaven and what it's going to be like. So tonight I would like for us to, just like the travel agencies would like to, put out some brochures and show you, no matter what trial you have to go through in this life, keep heaven in view. Realize it's more than what we can ever imagine. Sister Wright, I was thinking about you today as I was looking at this. No matter what affliction comes on us, no matter what trouble comes our way, if we can compare that to heaven, there'll be no comparison. And Paul went through a lot of things in his life where he was able to do those comparisons. You remember the times when he wrote the descriptions of the troubles that had come to him? How many times he was beaten? 39 stripes, save one. How many times he was shipwrecked? How many times his own countrymen came against him? And yet he was able to get a hold to something to where he said, I tell you what, all these things, and I'm getting ahead of myself, all these things are light afflictions. How was he able to compare that? You know what? Just like God wants us today to be able to see nature around us and it start making us think about, I wonder what heaven is going to be like. I believe he got a picture of heaven, and I want to look at some of the scriptures that tell us he did. He got a picture of heaven that he was able to compare when he's out there shipwrecked. He's able to compare that with, I tell you what, this is just a light thing compared to what's out there ahead if I'll be faithful. So let's go to a verse in 1 Corinthians 2. Because, you know, we're talking about in our prayer request time, we're talking about how wicked the world is getting, and we wonder what the future holds. Tell you what, no matter what happens in our life, if we can compare it, match it up to heaven, let me be faithful a little while longer, and it's going to be well worth it. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of the man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I know this is talking about the plan of salvation, but I want to tell you, I believe this also talks about we don't have any idea. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I believe that'll include heaven. We just cannot be able at our best to be able to comprehend what heaven will be like. And so if the beauty of nature around us can cause our mind to start turning toward God and thinking about if this is so great. Because I tell you, I have an appreciation for what God has created here on earth. If there were no sin, if there were no suffering, I tell you, this would be heaven to me. This is a good place to be. It's just that heaven is going to be something so much greater. And it says there'll be no tears, there'll be no sorrow out there along for it. And I believe he wants us to have more over on the other side to where when he calls for us, we will be ready for that time. There's another one, 2 Corinthians 4. And this is still Paul. He's gotten this vision to where the troubles that come to him, he doesn't see them as being something big. Here's what he has to say. For which cause we faint not. This is the 16th verse of 2 Corinthians 4. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, if you would take this little verse that he's telling us right here, and then if you were to go over to the chapter that tells all the things that have happened to him, he matched those things up together, and he said, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. These things that are happening to me can work for me, making heaven my home. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our light affliction. So can you tell me what must have happened? Did something happen in his life that caused him to be able to match heaven up to this and be able to say it's a light affliction? Anybody have what you think might have happened to him? Okay. You remember he was saying in 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, he got a little vision. Second verse of the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. And down in the 4th verse, how that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words. Now, I don't know how this timing matches up to some of the troubles that came in his life. But you remember the time when he was stoned and they thought he was dead and he was out of the city? I wonder, did any of these times maybe match up to a time where he got a glimpse of paradise? He was caught up into paradise. He heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. And then he goes on down, because he had that vision, the Lord allowed something to happen to him. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure, a thorn in the flesh was sent to me. And he said, I sought the Lord 3 times to take it away, just like all of us would like to be healed. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. This is in the 9th verse. And when the Lord told him that, after the vision that he had had of what heaven is going to be like, he was able to come from that instead of saying, you know, if he's not going to heal me, I don't know whether I want to live for him or not. No, he had a picture of what's out ahead. And he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. Now look at this next verse. Therefore, and we're going to need to be able to get a glimpse of heaven to be able to go as far as he's going in what he says. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. He got a vision of what heaven was. And he could take that trouble that he's in and compare it to heaven and be able to say, this is a light affliction. It's just going to be for a moment. Because I think he got to, also with that vision, he got the thought of, this thing will never end. Once I make heaven my home, it'll be forever. And he was able to compare those two together. There is another scripture I'd like for us to look at in Hebrews. It says there were a group of people in Hebrews 11 and 13. 11 and 13 of Hebrews. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know what? That's what we're doing today as a Christian, is we're saying, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. And you know, for me to be able to have that in my heart and more than just in my head is I've got to start putting some things on the other side, yes, to where I've got some things over there that are valuable to me. Because I'll tell you, it's easy for me to just think about next week I need to go to work. I got some vacation time. I want to retire one day, and I hope to have some good years out ahead of me. I need to keep in mind that, you know what, this all is just a short span. Should I live to 80 years, it's nothing compared to eternity. So it'll be very valuable for me to do like Paul did. When he said, you remember in Romans in the 8th chapter, so what things are going to be able to turn me aside? And he came at the end of it, he said, nothing will be able to do it. And I believe part of the thing that helped him was being able to get a glimpse of heaven. If we can get it and always keep it in our mind, whatever it takes, if it's a scripture, if it's a song, when you have trouble, when you have affliction, compare that to what the prize is that awaits me for being faithful. So this one said, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now think about us today in 2014. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country. That is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. There is something out ahead for us if we'll be faithful through this life. And I want to be able to have reminders as I'm going through this life. So I want to be nature sensitive, because you know what? I should be able to get up in the morning and walk out of the house and see a beautiful morning. And I want it to turn my mind to, wow, if this is a sunrise here, what is it like in heaven today? And I thought about, we have no doubt each one had relatives that died. And I remember with Dad and Mom both being there when they died and going out on the back porch and sitting there and hearing the semis and cars going by on the interstate. And you think, wait a minute, the world has stopped. This, come on, don't y'all realize it's over? She's gone. He's gone. But you know what? Things just keep on going. But to realize that, hey, you know what? It's not ended for them either. They are, by being faithful, they have stepped over into something that is so much more valuable. And if I can see this prize, no matter what trouble, we don't know what's out ahead for us. We hear about the things that are happening in other places. Maybe they'll come here, maybe they won't. But I want to tell you something. Don't ever get your eyes off of the prize. If I will be faithful, it's going to be worth it all. So it says, they desire a better country. That is in heavenly, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now there is, I've heard this saying before, if there were no heaven to go to, I would still live this way as a Christian. Have you heard that before? And I believe that because I have had enough experiences and watched the world taking choices that they have and the things that they reap from it. I understand that. But I want to tell you also, I thought about the verse that said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. And what I'm thinking about that is, I don't think he was saying, well, if you don't have a hope of heaven, you can't enjoy living here. But I think he was saying, if we could just see the prize that awaits us. And that chapter where he was talking about that was where some were saying, well, no, I don't believe people will rise after death. But he's saying, you know what, if just in this life that's all we have, we would be most miserable, because there is a life. And he went on through that chapter letting us know there is a life out ahead for us. There's a song, and I think it's going to be real valuable for us to learn to find where are the songs that would encourage me about heaven. Number 213 is one of them. Ever keep heaven in view. It says, Pilgrim of Jesus, o'er life's troubles see, courage and onward pursue. A crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee. Ever keep heaven in view. Don't ever lose sight of it. It says, Pilgrim of Jesus, what saddens thy brow? Are not his promises true? How needless thy sorrow, he's bidden thee now. Ever keep heaven in view. It says, O lift up thy head, ask and thy strength he'll renew. And while in the footprints of Jesus you tread, in our everyday living, ever keep heaven in view. It says, Pilgrim of Jesus, that Eden above long has been waiting for you. And soon thou shalt reach thy fair mansion of love, ever keep heaven in view. It says, Courage, my brother, right onward pursue, ever keep heaven in view. And you remember the verse that talks about, It's in 1 Thessalonians 4, and he's talking about here's the things that you can expect to happen as this closes out. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. And he closed that out right at the end of it. Wherefore comfort you with these words. You know, if I'm not careful, I will build up so much here that hearing about leaving is not a comfort to me. I want to be real careful with that. He gives me temporal things to enjoy. I want to keep them balanced. Because I heard before, and I think it was at Monarch, that someone testified to this, that they had like a dream where this farmer was, he died and he was leaving the earth, heading for heaven. And said he lifted up just so far and something stopped and he felt, I'm not going any farther, what's the matter? And he looked down and said there was a rope tied from his foot to his farm. It was hooked onto him. He had more than what he needed attachment to those things. You know, the Lord gives us temporal things to enjoy. But I thought about Paul, where he gives us all these verses about heaven and how he was looking forward to it. Do you remember the verse that he said, I'm torn betwixt two? He said, to go home is what I'd really like to have, but to be with you is what is needful. Can you imagine living in that kind of place to where you say, you know what, I have enough on the other side that when he makes the call, I'm longing to go. We have some songs in our songbook that give us testimonies of some people that said those things. And he said, and I already know what the Lord, this is Paul, I already know what's going to happen to me. The Lord's going to leave me here a while longer to work with y'all. And that was his testimony. It was, you know what, if I had a choice, I'd be heading for heaven. But there's some other things yet to be able to be done. And for each one of us, for the young people, it's easy to forget. This is what old people are supposed to think about, is heaven at the end of it. But I want to tell you, if you will get the right picture in your mind of heaven, when temptations come to you that will destroy your chance of making heaven, if you have really see heaven as it is, there'll be no comparison to the temptation compared to the prize that awaits me for being faithful. It's not just for old folks. This is for us throughout our life, because the devil is going to, at different stages of our life, there'll be things that tempt the young people that would be no temptation to me. But you know what? The devil knows what will get me. And you know what? We've heard before, maybe in the last couple weeks even here, that he doesn't stop just because somebody gets real old. If anything, he puts on more pressure then that, you know what, my time's running out, to be able to trip them up in some way. But I think we put a buffer between us and the devil's temptations by being able to get a clear picture of what heaven is. There is a song, another song. We have a lot of them in our songbook. I'd like to pick out just a few of them. It's 497. To be able to get a picture in my mind, says, there is a city, so I've been told, with gates of pearl and streets of gold. It's a walled-in city on eternal heights, where it's always day with never a night. Third verse, I've been invited, so I must go and meet my Lord who loved me so. There I'll see his face and his glory share and ever rejoice with the angels there. Let's go to the city. Now, will it be today? Don't know. Will it be 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now? Whatever it is, I want to go to that city. I want to be able to make it. There's another one, number 370. Now, this one, he has a longing. It says, there's a voice full of sweetness and love. Song 370. It is speaking so kindly to me. I will lead you to bright realms above, where the spirit forever is free. I forget all the things that are past. I am looking to glories divine. I shall reap my reward at the last, for my Jesus, dear Savior, is mine. You know the verse that says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If our treasure is over on the other side, my heart's attached to it. And it'll make decisions that will be able to help me to be able to make it, no matter what the temptations are around us. Colossians 3 and 1 and 2 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. How can we do that and still get up tomorrow morning and go back to work? There is a balance for us to be able to realize, you know what, the Lord may not call for me tomorrow, and I have a responsibility to feed my family. So I can do that and yet have the balance that I plan to make heaven my home. I plan to be ready on the day that he calls for me. Now, you remember Paul, at the end of his journey, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown laid up for me. And then he says, and not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. What, you know, we hear about the song, there's another song, I want a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now, what is the crown for? Is it so that there be some glory come to me? Throughout this life, he continually tells us, I will not share my glory with another. He won't be sharing his glory with another in heaven either. So what's the purpose of the crown? I was looking at a verse that I want us to think about in Revelations in the 4th chapter. And here it just, right at the beginning of it, he tells us what this chapter is going to be about. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Thank you. A door was opened in heaven. So he, and it says, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And it goes on down to the 10th verse. And here it says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And here's what they did with their crowns. And it says, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So I thought about that. Paul had a crown. He said, there's a crown for everybody. What we're going to do when we get there, everything goes back to the Lord. Thank you for what you have done for me. The things that he has given me, the plan of salvation, I take it back and I hand it back to him. And in the 5th chapter, it's talking about the 14th verse. They fell down and they worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And I thought, you know what, that's going to be what heaven is the worship of him for what he helped me for with in this life. And then I got to thinking, you know what? If that's what it's going to be throughout eternity, I probably ought to get to practicing a little bit here of sending up some praise, some thanksgiving to the Lord. Don't wait till I get over there. And I've thought before as I was young, and I would think, you know, I don't want to go to hell. I think I'd like to go to heaven. Well, I want there to be more of a reason to go to heaven than just I want to escape hell. Because if that's our only reason, and there's many people out in the world that that is their only reason, if it is the only reason, I'm going to really feel out of place if I could get there. I don't have any connection. I don't really even have any desire to be here. It's just the option wasn't what I wanted. No, we won't make it if that's all we have for it. But instead, for me to start today building something over there, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And I know sometimes there are, and I'm thankful for them, there are deathbed repentances. There are people that lived a bad life all their life, and they're almost to breathe their last. And they ask the Lord to forgive them, and he forgives them. That's mercy there. I am so thankful for it. But you know what? It's so much better to live my life acceptable to the Lord and to be anticipating life after death. And I was thinking about that song number 470, From Death to Life. It says, there light and life without an end into eternity shall blend. And I, the Lord of life, shall greet and worship at his blessed feet. Then the chorus says, by his great love and power divine, this is how I got it, eternal life is truly mine. By his great love and power divine. There's another song number 191. And what I'd like for us to do is when we leave out of here and we have temptations, we have pressures, maybe we have afflictions that come on us, and it seems like this is terrible. I would like for the Lord to bring back to our mind a glimpse of putting this on one side of the scales and heaven on the other. There's no comparison between the two, if I'll be faithful through this time. This one, song number 191, beyond this world of toil and care, beyond this veil of gloom, there is a land, a happy land, a place we call our home. So what will we do because of that? Oh, yes, we'll trust him while we live. We'll trust him when we die. And then when all our work is done, we'll get to reign with him on high. That's our goal. That's what we want to have happen. Oh, what a blessed hope is this. It's an anchor to the soul. And if we do our Savior's will, we'll safely reach the goal. We'll make it. That prize awaits us. We'll pray for God to keep our feet upon the cornerstone. We'll give our hearts and our lives to him, for we are not our own. So I want to, in my life today, as I go out from here, and it seems like the pressures of life squeeze me in. We start, you get your taxes in you need to pay. You get your property taxes, and so many things happening, and I need to go to work. Don't forget this. Build this into my thoughts for the day. There's a heaven out there ahead. There is a hell to shun, but I'd like for us to remember there's a heaven out there, and I can be able to make it. Now, there's something else I want to talk to you about for just a little bit, because there are so many people that have polluted the thought of what heaven is, and that is by saying, you know what, sin will be able to make it there. In fact, they say the devil was once in heaven as an angel, and by their talking, he pulled one on God. God was busy over here with things, and he wasn't watching everything that was going on. And he got a coup going. He got some others to go along with him. Now, I want to just for a little bit, because we need to keep a good glimpse of what heaven is. Because I want to tell you, if you start losing what heaven really is, then you start lowering your value of what it's going to take to be able to make it there. And that's what's happening all around us in the world today. I need to get a glimpse of who God is. We, everyone, need a picture of who God is. If I don't even have to have a scripture. If I know who God is, I know he's all-powerful. I know he's all-seeing. He sees everything. Nothing escapes. Then it's not possible that could have happened. He was not busy. You know, we start thinking as a human. We start thinking, you know what, I could be busy over here in this part of my field and something happening over there that gets away from me. Not with God. He saw it all. Heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin will never enter there. And the reason I know that is I think of 28 and 18 where Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Nothing escapes them. So it's a pure place, and I'm going to have to be pure to be able to make it there. I thought of the verse that says, Hebrews 12 and 14, for me to be able to make it, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So as the devil comes to me and says, boy, it won't take near that much to make heaven, I'll not take a chance. I'm going to walk carefully before the Lord. I want holiness to reign in my life. I want there to be purity in my life. 1 Peter 1 and 15 through 7, he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. So I'm not going to just fall off into heaven just because I've been thinking about it for 30 years. It's going to be because I'm thinking about it and I make the adjustments necessary that it tells me. It'll take this for you to be able to make it. I thought about a Christian in Pilgrim's Progress where he was doing this journey heading for the celestial city. And he had a certificate that he's got to hand in at the end. And, you know, I could spend my whole time. There was a man, I believe his name was Ignorance, that came along and joined him for a little while. And Christian would ask him, hey, you got your certificate? You're going to have to hand it in. He said, no, I don't think I'm going to need one. He said, I spend a whole lot of time thinking about God and doing these things, and I believe I'll make it with that. No, it's going to take more than what I'm telling you of thinking about heaven and thinking about these things. You can't think your way into heaven. We're going to have that same certificate where Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That is going to be what's required. But when we have done that, we want to start spending some time thinking about it. We want to start adding some things into our life that will help me to be able to make it. One of those that says, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A rewarder. I think one of those rewards is heaven out ahead. He rewards those that diligently seek him. Rewards them here and rewards them at the end of their life. So there's another song that is a determination. It's number 363. There, it's asking some questions here. Shall I wear that bright crown God has offered to me when my life shall have come to a close? Now, what about that question? Do I say, well, it's a 50-50 chance. You can about flip a quarter and tell whether I will or whether I won't. No, I want to be able to have more. I want to have more of a goal than that. It's number 363. There, it's asking some questions here. Shall I wear that bright crown God has offered to me when my life shall have come to a close? Now, what about that question? Do I say, well, it's a 50-50 chance. You can about flip a quarter and tell whether I will or whether I won't. No, I want to be able to have more. I want to have more of a goal than that. Rock. Till the storms of this life all are past, that I'll firmly endure on the promise secure, till he brings me to glory at last. Chorus says, yes, I will wear a crown over there, over there. When my toiling is o'er, I shall rest evermore in that home he has gone to prepare. And then we have one in 435. Sometime you just take a look in the songbook of the songs that talk about heaven and just start thinking over them. It says, we are going home to heaven's golden city. We have tasted of its precious fruit of love. And dear sinner, if you'd be forever happy, journey with us to that blissful world above. It says, we are going through to glory by the Bible. See the way marked, be ye holy through the blood. In the name of Jesus, will you meekly travel with the pilgrims to that beautiful abode. I want to be able to make it. There's going to be a lot of things that are trying to pull me back. There's going to be a lot of things that says, you can make it on a whole lot less than that. You can still make heaven your home. I don't want to take a chance. I've thought about that before. If the Lord says, I tell you what, if you don't want to put all the effort into living careful living, I have one other plan that you can do. You take a quarter and you flip it. If it's heads, you make heaven. If it's tails, you're lost forever. What I say, I believe I'll take that chance. I don't want to live a life that puts me that close to a risk of missing it. I want to walk carefully before the Lord, because there's another song that says, I know my name is there. I can have a calm assurance. Every one of us can have a calm assurance. And that's what I want to be able to have. I'd like for us to close with one more song. It's song number 373. And it says, what is it going to be to be there? I want to be able to make it. I desire your prayers.